Hello Hope Church, my name is David. As part of our series, Dying Words of Love, we are looking at the words of Jesus on the cross. And now we're going to look at the last words of Jesus before he died on the cross. And this short talk is titled, Word of Achievement. Now getting to this point has been physically, emotionally and spiritually harrowing for Jesus. He sweated blood in angst at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was whipped relentlessly. He was forced to drag the very cross that he would die on up the climb to Calvary until physically he just could not do it anymore. Nails were hammered into his body to keep it in place. And there he was, left in the scorching sun, enduring pain, enduring taunting and humiliation throughout until he reached the point of his death. And in John 19, verse 30, we read the last words Jesus said on the cross. That verse 30 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's really important at the start to look at what it is finished means, because the English translation isn't perfect. It would be easy, especially with the context of dying on a cross, just to see this as an end, maybe an end to the pain. But this doesn't mean finished as in just it is over, like, you know, Spurs' dream of winning the Premier League is finished, it's over. Rather, it means a completion of a task. Not just doing a task, but completing it. And more than that, it means accomplishing it in full to perfection. You know, so in our house, for instance, one of the main chores for our children is to do the washing up. But every time they'll run off saying, you know, we're finished, job done, tick. You know, let's get back to living our lives again. But it's never quite complete. It's never perfect. There's always either something left on the table or some random pot left by the sink that they've missed, or maybe there's some pan that they claim is just too difficult to wash now. We need to leave it to soak. Just to be clear, just in case they hear this message, I'll be really grateful. I'm not complaining. Just making a point there. You know that it's never perfect. It's never 100% accomplished. And of course, actually, even if they managed it, even if they did a perfect washing up, come the next mealtime, you're back to square one again. If you recall, last week, Alex looked at Psalm 22, which started in verse 1 with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which Jesus also said on the cross. And David started this psalm in despair, coming to God. Where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? But if we look at the last two verses of Psalm 22, we see even more clearly why Jesus was quoting from this psalm. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation that they shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. You know, Jesus' whole ministry has been to get to this point on the cross. This was the whole point. He could say, I've done it. He knew it. He knew the price to be paid. Jesus was not a helpless victim on the cross. This was his time. And as he had told the disciples at his Last Supper, finally his hour had come. The hour had come when he would accomplish the work that his Father gave him to do. And what an accomplishment it was. What a victory. As Jesus gave up his life, he fulfilled scripture. In other words, all of the writings in the Old Testament, all of the laws, all of the plans of God to bring redemption were accomplished. Covenants and commitments made over thousands of years from Abraham to the kings completed. Prophecies, wide-ranging, including that God's kingdom would not just be for Israel, but for all nations, completed. The battle against Satan, won. And the vital thing here is that Jesus' victory cannot be undone or unpicked. You know, unlike the washing of dishes or the sacrifices in the Old Testament, it isn't a task that needs to be repeated again and again. So many things in our life are not certain. We may lose our job if our company goes bust, our health may deteriorate. People we trust will let us down, even if not through their own fault. But we can be 100% certain that Jesus' sacrifice is completed and done and finished. What Jesus came to do is completed. He gave up his life on the cross. You know, and we go into this battle with this victory. And this means that we can and should go into the battle of living life with complete confidence in God. So let's now look at how we can use this knowledge, or use the knowledge of this completeness of Jesus' victory to give us the confidence in three areas of our life. And the first is, it is finished, I have certain salvation. You know, this underpins for us as Christians everything. Because we're not saved because of what we do, but because of Jesus' sacrifice, and because we know that that of what has been accomplished to perfection on the cross. You know, we have no doubt because of that to doubt our salvation or our standing with God. You know, amazing thing happened after Jesus said, "It is finished," and he breathed his last breath. The curtain of the temple ripped in two. The curtain in the temple separated the holy and holy, the holy of holies, the presence of God, from the rest of the temple, from people. You know, Hebrews 10 explains the importance of this well, but briefly, because of the blood of Jesus, the old barrier between man and God, the curtain in the temple, had gone. Now all people could come to the Father through Jesus. In our lives, we may have times when our faith wavers. We have times where, with everything going on in our lives, we deflate somewhat. And if you're in that place now, where you're feeling your faith is weakened, remember, Jesus' victory was and is complete. You know, in Hebrew, it talks about not throwing away our confidence in Christ, not shrinking back from the Lord. So as soon as our faith wavers, the first port of call is not to look at what we lack, but to look at what we have in abundance. Jesus' victory. Don't look at your failings or your lack of faith, but look at Jesus first. Look to the cross where Jesus accomplished what needed to be done on the cross. Build faith through meditating on scriptures and spending time in prayer and worship with God just to enjoy his presence. Now, this is great news because on the one hand, it means whatever we're going through in our life, it need not shake our confidence in our certain salvation. But even more, we have a friend in Jesus imploring us not to shrink away from him, but to focus on him. The second point is, it is finished. I have a victory in my battles. There may be some thinking, it's all well and good saying you have confidence, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the sins entangling me or the suffering that other people or my body is putting me through. And that's true. I don't know the battles you're going through, but the Bible is clear that as Christians, we almost certainly will go through personal battles. At the cross, the old temple that housed the presence of God had now become no more than the building, really. But then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the early Christians. And so now our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' sacrifice didn't destroy the temple for good and everything it stood for. It moved the temple, the presence of God, to his followers, to us. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely vital for any Christian wanting a rich personal spiritual life and wanting to have victories in the battles in their life. Now, what is it in your personal life that you are battling now? Where do you need help? I don't have time to quote all the scriptures from the Bible, but it's clear, also from our experiences, that we know the Holy Spirit helps us in so many areas of our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us pray, guides us, teaches us and reveals things to us. The Holy Spirit brings us boldness and inner strength and encourages us. The Holy Spirit brings us joy and freedom from sin and more, so much more. Yes, there may be, and certainly are, sins in our life that need to be sorted. There may be relationships we need to bring healing to. I'm not saying ignore it, but don't try to just solve the problems yourself by your own strength. Make the starting point coming to God and letting the Holy Spirit help. Imagine I was to send you into an actual physical battle right now. An unlikely scenario, I know, but run with me for a second. So just imagine there's this pack of ravenous wolves, probably diseased, prowling outside your house, and all you are wearing is what you have on now. So maybe some of us are just about to go into battle with a dressing gown or a cup of coffee. Not perfect. But then I remind you about that Amazon deliverer I sent you last week that has this full set of impenetrable armour and a sword. You know, what are you going to do? Hopefully not Karen sipping your cappuccino whilst innocent bystanders are mauled. You're going to put on the armour. It's common sense. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he knew the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit. He had told the disciples that the Passover meal just days earlier would happen. This doesn't mean our lives are going to be perfect with no problems, and sometimes something like tackling a pack of wolves that are diseased will be scary and difficult. I just asked a moment ago, what are the battles you're facing? And the wolves illustration may seem frivolous, but sometimes tackling our own insecurities and problems with our personal life could be really daunting. And so we hide from them, we ignore them. It feels like a battle we could never win. You know, we've tried and we've failed before. But remember, Jesus said, "It is finished." So we can be confident that we have the Holy Spirit both with us, in us, and helping us. We're not alone in our battles. We have been provided with the armour of God. to ask for the Holy Spirit's help in your life. Don't leave what God has given us untouched in the corner. You know, pick it up, put it on, pray for the courage to put it on and face the battles. Be persistent. If the walls come back, don't just shrug and accept it. You make sure you put the armour on and again you go, day by day. Whilst Jesus' death on the cross was a one-off event, the blessings for us were available afresh, every day, every hour, every second. The third point is that it is finished, I have victory in the world. Of course, the Holy Spirit doesn't just help us in our personal battles, but also helps us to bless those around us in the world. As Christians, we're called to be a light in the world, to proclaim the good news, to love our neighbour. But as we all know, sometimes that's tough, it's difficult, and so we need to put back that armour on. You know, when Ephesians talks about the armour of God, it explains our battles are not against flesh and blood, it's not against our neighbour Bob, it's against the spiritual forces of evil. And this is why we are called to pray in the Spirit on all occasions and pull on this spiritual armour. Because just our flesh and blood, it's not going to be enough to win this battle. I mean, many of us know Pastor Mark, most of us do, and he would be a great man to have in battle, wouldn't he? He does Iron Man, he's very fit, he's optimistic, he'll go for the victory, you know he's got your back. Sometimes as Christians we can look at others and think, you know, I could never be as good as them. I'm not the one that can go out into the world and change things. You know, I'm no Mark, or I'm no kind of insert name of like some of the Christian person you really admire. But in the battles we have in the world, living out our Christian calling, it doesn't matter. You know, Mark is absolutely no match in a battle compared to Mark plus the Holy Spirit. It's not even close. You know, we're not talking about top and bottom of the league here. We're talking about totally different sports. You know, there's no disrespect to Mark, but all due respect to the awesome power of God. And remember, we are now temples of the Holy Spirit. The best thing the enemy can do right now is to quench the light of our Holy Spirit in our lives, because then we're blunt. Or maybe we don't even turn up for the battle. But because of Jesus' victory, we can go into the battle with the Holy Spirit. And you know, in the darkness of a room, in the darkness of this world, even the gentlest of lights can be seen. And the problem isn't maybe that some of us have small lights. It's not being a light at all, or rather, not letting the world see that light. Every one of us can be victorious, but we need to go with the Holy Spirit. So the challenge is, what are the battles that we are facing against the spiritual forces of evil of now? Is there a friend, a brother or sister in Christ that you need to be reconciled with? Is there a neighbour struggling that needs help, that needs love, but you're not sure what to do, or you're nervous to approach them? Is there someone the Lord has put on your heart to reach out to with the gospel or to befriend? Is there a dream the Lord has put on your heart but that would bless others, but you put it to one side because it's too difficult, or maybe you'll end up looking like a fool, or you might fail? You know, there are limitless things, of course, but what we need to take is that first step. Leave the victory to the Holy Spirit. Again, prayer is so vital. It may actually, in this weird time, be that you're not sure what you can do. Or maybe you're struggling to take that first step or to take that step again. We're implored to come to the Spirit, though, for wisdom, for courage, for faith, that our hearts would be so convicted in love for others, even the unlovable, that we'd be compelled to reach out. So in conclusion, on the cross, Jesus accomplished to perfection for each of us everything that was needed for us to be saved, and for us to work our way through our personal battles, and for us to be a blessing to the world around us. We can have confidence in God because of this. Because as Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. All that we need for our salvation, all that we need for living our daily life, was achieved the moment that Jesus breathed his last breath. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for laying your life down on the cross for each of us. Thank you that in that moment, you accomplished all that needs to be done, all that was needed for us, not just to be saved, but to have a secure and certain salvation. Thank you that because of your sacrifice, our security is not on what we do, but what you have done, on what you have finished. And I pray that we would not miss out on the blessings that we have now through your actions. In particular, I pray that we would draw close to you, Lord, rather than shrink away, and that you would abundantly bless our lives through your Holy Spirit. Will you help us in our personal struggles that we are grappling with day by day? whether that is a holy joy and a strength to persist, or whether it is ridding our lives of sins that are dragging us down. We come to you now and we ask for you to work in our lives. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us shine brightly in the world around us, that even in these strange times, we would be able to bring love and the gospel into the world. I ask that right now, Lord, you will put on our hearts things that you want us to do, people you want us to reach out to, battles that you want us to face that we've shirked away from. And in everything, we pray your holy courage and your faith would be in us in abundance, Lord, because we can have 100% confidence in Jesus' accomplishments. Thank you, Lord. It is finished. It is finished. Amen.